Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbrabit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black, you mobs. Have your say and yarn up strong, too deadly. We're going to jump straight in and have a yarn with Kiana Brown, obstetrician and gynecologist. Healthcare key to avoiding pain of preterm baby heartbreak for First Nation parents. On the line, Kiana, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my sister. Thank you very much. So before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yep, so I grew up in Darwin, but we're Yatagana and Gurindji mob, so from the Cape and also from the Territory. But I'm speaking to you live from beautiful Larrakia country, where I was lucky enough to be born and grow up, and now growing up my children here too.
Too deadly, my sister. Beautiful, deadly footprint. Thank you very much for that intro. Your mob, too deadly. Now, talking about healthcare, a key to avoiding pain of preterm baby heartbreak for First Nation parents. Look, so it's a very important part of life, of course, but First Nation parents are struggling in that department compared to non-Indigenous parents, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, unfortunately, we see babies being born far too early right across the country. Mm. And, you know, particularly in the north, it's a epidemic that's not getting any better. So, for example, about 8% of babies born to non-First Nations mothers are born preterm. Mm. But in some of our communities, we've got 23% of babies being born preterm. So almost one in four of our babies are being born far too early. And of course, you know, that has both short-term and long-term effects, not just for the baby, but for the family, the whole community, and accessing care and being away from communities when they're first born and having long stays in hospital. But then, of course, there's, you know, complications of ongoing health issues as those people turn into adults. Yeah.
So Australian Preterm Birth Prevention Alliance, how long have you guys been operating?
Yeah, so that's a pretty, it's a bit of a important, you know, there's some important work coming on from that group, and a bit of a story about how that alliance came about. There was a group led by a man called Professor John Newnham in WA. They did some really important work on reducing preterm birth across WA several years ago. Mm. And actually, they implemented a few quite small changes right across the state, and they found after their first year of these small changes that they saw a 7% reduction in preterm birth across WA. And so the government got really interested in those results and said, okay, well, Prof, we need you to take that program a bit more in a couple of other places around the country. Maybe we can roll your program out in New South Wales and Victoria, I think.
Or template across the country.
Yeah, you know? So then that's exactly what Professor Newnham said. He said, well, actually, we need it right across the country.
Exactly.
And so he gathered a group of, well, leaders, I guess you'd say, from right across different regions of the country, and developed this Australian Preterm Birth Prevention Alliance, where we've got a group of 20-odd of us where we're just really passionate about, you know, reducing preterm birth rates across the country. And I've been, and so that group was formed in June 2000. 2018. We've had a bit of a couple of false starts, of course, with COVID, like many things. but, you know, for the leaders who are part of that group, we've each got, you know, a job in our own regions and where we work to work with communities, to work with, you know, our populations to see some results.
Yes.
And actually, we got funded from the Commonwealth just last year. And so there's hard work ahead of me to try and reduce some preterm birth rate numbers across the top end, really.
Deadly. What sort of support are you providing for First Nation parents in this space?
Oh, Trevor, I lost you.
You there? Hello, sister? Kiana? No? Okay, I lost Kiana. That's Kiana Brown, obstetrician and gynecologist. And we're talking about the healthcare key to avoiding pain of preterm baby heartbreak for First Nation parents, a very important space. And now they're templating across the country in regarding looking after our mothers, our First Nation mothers, and their babies. So we'll get back into the conversation, a very important space, and talk about how they're supporting First Nation parents. And also, I wanted to know, with First Nation staff, are they working with First Nation parents? So you've got to have black on black, and I think that would be the case, and Kiana being a First Nation woman. So we'll get her back and continue that yarn. We'll just try again with Sister Kiana. Sister Kiana, are you there? Good morning.
Yeah, I am, lost Trevor. Sorry
all
about
good.
That.
No,
I've
all good.
Been talking too much.
No, all good, my sister. Taking them, hanging on every word, too deadly. Talk about the support that you're providing First Nation parents. What sort of support you're talking there?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, you know, it all starts in, you know, actually, pregnancy care starts before women actually get pregnant. And it's about, you know, having the tools and equipment and the knowledge and the education to look after ourselves and be healthy enough before the pregnancy starts and then maintain that throughout the pregnancy. So a lot of that happens, you know, in the initial stages of people, you know, in community, at their local health services and so forth. For me at the hospital, it's a bit of a different story. I work in obstetrics at a tertiary level hospital. And so, you know, we're just about supporting women when they do have to come in from remote communities, for example, to have their babies. So, yeah, a bit of a different level. But actually, some of the work that I'd really like to do is to talk to our women from all over the top end and ask them, how can we do this better? You know, what are we doing? Where are we failing? And, you know, we're bound by health systems and budgets and things. Mm. But you tell me how we can do things better. And we really just need to change things up.
Exactly.
We need to get better
outcomes. And when we're talking about staff in your department, are we talking First Nation staff? I mean, as we know, nothing beats black on black, my sister.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, in an ideal world, we'd have Big Mob Moore, you know, Aboriginal obstetricians, Big Mob Moore, Aboriginal midwives. That would make a massive difference. We've got some deadly, you know, Aboriginal health workers that work in our department and provide some really good education about childbirth and looking after babies when they're born. But never enough, Trev. You know, we definitely need more staff, more health professionals. You know, First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health professionals, and I'd love to see more up here in the territory to help us out.
Deadly, my sister. Well, thank you very much for the yarn. A very important space. We're talking about life. That's what we're talking about, and closing that gap in regarding First Nation mothers and parents compared to the non-Indigenous parents. So, very important space. Thank you for the yarn, my sister. And listen, all the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon. Okay, Kiana.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks again, Trev, for having me on.
Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful young Kiana Brown, her name is, obstetrician and gynecologist, and just talking about that important space, the Australian Preterm Birth Prevention Alliance, and talking about the work they're doing regarding healthcare and to avoiding pain of preterm baby heartbreak for First Nation people. And the percentages are high, and so they need to come down a bit. And we're talking about in community, talking about dealing with our First Nation staff. So very important, and a very important space. Find out what the problems are and what the solutions are to those problems. So very important. Have you seen Yana Trong? Out of the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Let's go to Uncle Lionel Rose. I thank you.
When a boy becomes a man, he must do the best he can to live his life and find his childhood dream. I've had the good times and the bad, but the biggest break I've had was when I found that girl that thought of only me. Thank you for your smile and the love that's in your eyes. And thank you for a heart that's big and true. Thank you for the many things you are, my love. Let me thank you for just being you. A few mistakes and put a few feet wrong. And sometimes I feel I want to say, forget it. But with my baby by my side, I can swallow foolish pride and stand upright to fight another day. Thank you for your smile. That's in your eyes. And thank you for a heart that's big and true. Thank you for the many things you are, my love. Let me thank you for just being you. Great big world of wars and fear of dying. I wear a smile and not a frown, 'cause I know you'll be around to keep me full of happiness and love. Thank you for your smile and the love that's in your eyes.
Yes, a beautiful track there, Uncle Lionel Rose. I thank you, and I thank you, Mob, for tuning in to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yeah, I'm with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BB and Bumbrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have you saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now honouring our mental health heroes, nominations open for Australian Mental Health Prize 2022. And we're going to catch up a yarn there with Deadly Brother Joe Williams, former rugby league player and boxer on the line. Joe, good morning. How are you? You there, Joe? Shut up, Joe. Dodging them punches. Joe, give me a call back, brother, so we can have a yarn. That's Joe Williams trying content. Well, that's not Joe Williams. I thought it was Joe Williams, but we'll get the brother back and just talk about this space. So, like June 14, nominations open for the Australian Mental Health Prize, which seeks to recognise the important and groundbreaking work that many Australians are doing for mental health. And this year, the prize has expanded the nomination categories for the first time. And we are going to catch up, like I said, with Joe Williams and talk about that space. And since retiring from football, he's been working very, very hard in the space. So it's so very important. And like you said, you want to get fit in the physically, you have to get fit mentally as well. And that's the conversation we're going to be having about honouring our mental health heroes. But like I said, we'll catch up with Joe Williams and have that yarn. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a one-hour program coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So our nominations are open for Australian Mental Health Prize. And like I said, we'll catch up with our Deadly Brother Joe Williams, former rugby league player and boxer. We'll try again. Joe, you there? Good morning.
Got me. How you doing?
Hey, got you. Yeah, my brother. I said, we've got Joe here. We'll have a yarn him. And Joe wasn't there. I think, hey, duck that punch there, my brother.
No good.
No good. No good. Two daily, brother, before we start, let the mob know. Who you mob? Where you from, Joe?
My name's Joe Williams. I'm a Wiradjuri Wagalu man. Currently living on Wiradjuri country down in Dubbo.
All
right today. It's been a little bit fresh.
Brother, Murray's sitting up here even in shorts and singlet here, brother. in Cairns, far north Queensland. Come and join us.
I was actually just talking to a brother who was on the phone to Cairns before you, who was in Cairns just before your mob rang, and I was like, geez, I'd like to be up there.
Yeah, bro, you must be rugged up down at the moment, cuss.
Nice and cold. I'll tell you something, I've lived all over the world, in North America,
yes,
in France, in the middle of winter. Nothing is ever as cold, and I'll say it honest, with all honesty, the coldest place I've ever spent in my life is here in Dubbo.
No, shut your mouth. True, bro.
That's no good. I've lived in places where it's been minus 25 degrees.
Yeah.
Nothing hits colder than the Dubbo winter.
Well, brother, there it is. Cairns here, far north Queensland. Come up and visit us, my cuss. So, Joe, you there?
Yeah, got me.
Yeah, brother, let's talk about honouring our mental health heroes. So nominations open for Australian Mental Health Prize for 2022. So tell us about this space and about honouring and how do people nominate. Also talk about the work that you're doing there, Joe, please.
Yeah, I've been in the mental health space, since about 2014. Mm. And just travelling around and talking and connecting with people and trying to help them to understand some of the challenges that they go through mentally and emotionally. It's no secret that many of our mob struggle with different things mentally, emotionally, but also spiritually.
Yes.
We're at times we live in a world where we don't quite fit. It's about trying to understand that and trying to, you know, put some things into practice and progress to be able to live our best life. And you know, how we do that is out on country and together as mobs. And you know, the last couple of years has been a real challenge because we've been separated and segregated between different things. So it's about trying to get around each other and help each other out.
Yeah, my brother. And when you look at it, like the human race, I mean, you know, black and white, we do a lot for the body in regard to the dietary stuff, you know what I mean? Feed our body, even go work out in the gym and go for a jog. Very rarely do things for our mind, and that's a muscle we need to work on. Hey, bro.
I think what people underestimate as well is that everything that they put in their mouth impacts their mind.
True too.
You know, so if we're eating rubbish food or even drinking things that we shouldn't be drinking, that directly impacts our brain. So
point taken.
It's all relative. Yep. It's all relative. You know, and it's, you know, our mind is the, you know, our brain is an extremely powerful organ. We got to look after that. So which helps us on many aspects of our being. But you know, as the First Nation people, you know, blackfellas right across the country, we need to start looking after our spirit.
Yes.
It's our spirit that's sick, and it's our spirit that's craving healing. And, you know, as I said, we do that by doing things that we've always done, by eating well, by exercising, and being around each other.
Yeah, exactly, brother, exactly. So it's a muscle we need to work on constantly. They say motivation is like bathing, you know. You only can't do it once, 3 days a day, looking good, feeling good, but not smelling good. So it's a daily thing that we need to work on regarding exercise in our mind and our thought process. Positive at that, yes?
Yeah, I think it's also, we underplay the importance of interactions around us, you know, when we all feel that energy when somebody is negative around us. It's about making sure that you know, to be our best self or to be the best version of ourselves, we have to make sure that we're around other good people as well.
Yes, exactly.
That can be a challenging for sometimes in some people. So it's about going around and helping people connect and realizing or working out how to be their best version of themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm lucky to be able to get out and get to do that.
Yeah, good description, exactly. And so I yarn a lot of young kids, you know, high school kids and Murray kids in the motivation side of things. I'll talk about having that yarn with that man, that woman in the mirror, you know what I mean? Every morning we're brushing our teeth, we'll have a good yarn to that brother, that sister before you walk out, you know?
Well, I think even before, if we be honest with ourselves, even before we look at ourselves in the mirror, our mind's talking to us from the absolute second that we wake up.
Yeah, true.
Reinforcing those positive conversations with ourselves.
Exactly.
Then when we look in the mirror, we start to feel a little bit better as long as looking good as well.
True too, brother. So we're talking about honouring our mental health heroes. Nominations open for Australian Mental Health Prize. Does the individual have to be working with an organisation, or do they have to be like a psychologist? Or is this open for anybody, and how do people nominate if that's the case?
Well, there's a range of categories now, which is fantastic.
Good.
And you know, just through lived experience, through the the professional sector, but also through different organisations as well. So there's different ways that you can nominate people and different ways that people can be recognised for the amazing work that they're doing. I think there's so many good people, so many good organisations,
yes.
but also so many good blackfellas right across the country
that
are just out there giving their time, their effort, their energy to each other and doing their work. So I think we should be look to nominating these people who are doing the important work. So if you can look up the Australian Mental Health Prize, I'm sure all the information of how to nominate people are right there for you.
Yeah, I found it here. I've got the categories. I'll just point them out. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. That's to recognise, celebrate outstanding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander mental health leadership at a national or community level. There's lived experience, what you were talking about, Joe, to recognise and celebrate outstanding mental health leadership by someone with lived experiences. Professional, to recognise and celebrate outstanding mental health leadership in the clinical, okay, and academic or professional sectors. Also, community hero, to recognise and celebrate outstanding mental health. Can you nominate somebody as well as, if not, nominate yourself, yes?
Oh, you definitely can nominate someone. You can definitely nominate and just raise a conversation around the circle about nominating other people as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's so good to see that there's so many different sectors within the nomination field, and that just shows me that the conversation is louder than ever. So there's more people putting more importance on everyone's mental health, which is a fantastic thing for a community.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Now, to nominate, nominators will answer three questions about the nominee's contribution to mental health and how it's making an impact, and nominations are completely using an online form. So they'll go to the webpage, is that right, for mental health?
Yeah, you go to the webpage, and you know, if you got it right there in front of us, you might be able to read it out for us as well. But you go to the webpage, and all the nomination details will be there, and all the information needed will be provided.
Yeah, fantastic, Joe. Look, thank you very much for sharing, and look, all the best to the mob out there, and this prize as such, as nominations, it does open up conversations. It does acknowledge the individual, if not the organisation, person working in that space, that you are doing something good, and it's good for the community, good for the mob. And thank you very much, Joe.
Thanks, brother. Love your work, and stay well up there in Cairns.
You take care, brother. Stay warm, bro. Bye bye.
Take care.
Beautiful yarn, and that's Joe Williams, and former rugby league and boxer, and we're talking about the fantastic nomination opportunity for people out there, Australian Mental Health Prizes. Nominations are now open, so if you know anybody in your area, with your organisation, in your community, doing good in the mental health part of life, then nominate them. That's what it's all about. Recognise them, you know. And if they're, you know, being nominated, is a good, slap on the back and congratulations, the work that you're doing, we're proud of you. And that's what it's all about. If you win a prize out of that, some daily prizes, but also add that to your resume. Have your saying, Yana Strong, out of the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Our love is unconditional, we knew it from the start. I see it in your eyes, and you can feel it from my heart. From here on after, we stay the way we are right now, and share all the love and laughter that a lifetime will allow. I cross my heart and promise to give all I've got to give to make all your dreams come true. In all the world, you'll never find a love that's true as mine. You'll always be the miracle that makes my life complete. And as long as there's a breath in me, I'll make yours just as sweet. As we look into the future, It's as far as we can see. So let's make each tomorrow be the best that it can be. I'll cross my heart and promise to give all I've got to give to make all your dreams come true. In all the world, you'll never find a love that's true as mine. And if along the way we found a day, it starts to storm, you've got the promise of my love to keep you warm. In all the world, you'll never love that's true as mine. A love that's true as mine.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, beautiful track there. World Turning, Yothu Yindi, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, new mob, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Otherwise, text a brother, 0457140550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And the host of the baldy one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, take you right up to 12 noon Queensland time, so do add to the conversation. Got about 26-odd minutes left on the program. All right, too deadly. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Zoe Kassam, Program Manager, Indigenous Literacy Foundation, and talk about children's books bringing traditional language lessons to Fitzroy Crossing youth. So on the line, Zoe, good morning. How are you?
Dingri, I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm very good, my sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm a Widjibal Wailwoman from Bundjalung Country, up in northern New South Wales. But I'm calling in from Darug Country out in Western Sydney today.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful, good footprint. And we're talking about children books bring traditional language lessons to Fitzroy Crossing youth. So, look, fantastic space. Language, a part of the school curriculum? Let me ask that question.
So, in some communities, yes. But with these books, so we work with play groups. So, these are early learning, mums and bubs, dads and bubs. They actually came up with these books themselves. So, it's more community publishing their own stories in language to then share across generations. So it's not necessarily in the schools, but it's definitely in the community and in the daycare centres.
And led and organised by traditional owners and elders. So that in itself is the best curriculum you can have. Good foundation as such, yes?
Absolutely. Yeah, all of our stuff is led by community.
So of course.
We listen and get told by community as to what they want. And, I mean, we know how deadly we are when we've got one or two languages that we speak before English. And the fact that they can publish books and then the young peoples and their artists can actually draw and paint for those books as well. It's a really beautiful project to be a part of.
Yes. And so when we're talking about learning language by elders and people in the community, so of course the students know the author and the artist of the books, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. You know, it's all part of the whole community celebration of language because it's them coming in as a mum, as a grandparent, and saying this is a story that we want our jargons, our little ones to grow up with. And then ILF just helps get that book published so that they can have that in their community and then read those deadly books instead of the typical books that you'd find in a Western library.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about learning language, it's part of our culture. It's part of the students' culture, and that empowers the individual. You know, keeping the culture alive, but also in the business world, they in the future can become teachers as such, and they can become part of the curriculum as we were speaking. Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's very much what ILF is aiming to do, is to provide opportunities and choices for our young people to actually see how truly wonderful they are, how amazing it is to be part of our rich cultures and histories and to be able to share that and teach that in different ways. And a book is just one level, and we learn so much every time we connect with community about who they are and about their wonderful knowledge and breadth of knowledge. So it's really, really cool. But, yeah, we're hoping to inspire the young people to take the charge. And
they're
changing things
themselves
already and challenging the systems. And so it's really cool to be able to say, here is a book that you've done, that you've worked with your old people, with your families, and this is what you can do. So you can write more stories, you can teach more across Australia and overseas just
exactly.
by culture, because it's just too deadly.
Too deadly, exactly. It says that it says to the students that your future, your culture is in your hands, you know, and then the teaching begins. It's empowering also for the grandparents as well, smiling in their heart and smiling in spirit regarding their culture being alive and their young ones are learning, because our elders, because of how they were treated and regarding, removal and what have you, they're sort of looking over their shoulder and when they're talking language or, in case they get in trouble, so to speak, but this is a safe platform and it's empowering for all the community.
Hello?
You there? Sister? Zoe?
Yes, sorry, it's cut out.
Can you hear me?
Oh, no.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Good. Yeah, don't get run away. We're still yarn in deadly space and look, it's fantastic, Zoe. And look, this is becoming popular with tribal people around the Big Island, around Australia, and it's a must. If you're talking about reclaiming, well, never reclaiming, we've always had it, but speaking freely and educating our young ones, it preserves and keeps it all alive, doesn't it?
It does. It does very much. And it's about returning the agency to our peoples. It's exactly like you said, when you've got generations of our community that were told not to speak our language, not to practice our culture, to be able to not only hear their stories, but to give them a physical representation of that. Say, this is something to celebrate. This is something that you should feel proud of.
Yes.
And to then have them, like, the pure joy of the old people as they get the books in hands and they're singing the songs and they're reading the books with the little ones. It's so magical.
Well, and we are storytellers, are we not, Zoe?
Absolutely, you know?
We belong to that, aren't we?
Yes. And like, we've been storytelling for time immemorial. Like, we tell stories of country. We tell stories of place and time. Mm. And we've got this knowledge and this connection. And it's just so amazing to be able to use Western tools to be able to celebrate and provide space for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters across the country.
So
we can take ownership of this space.
Exactly.
And share that.
Exactly. Yeah. So empowering. I thank you very much for sharing, my sister. All the best to you, Zoe, and your family, your team there, your mob. Stay safe and keep doing what you're doing, my sister.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Adelie Yarn there. Zoe Kassam, her name is, Program Manager, Indigenous Literacy Foundation. And we're talking about children's books bring traditional language lessons to Fitzroy Crossing youth. So you mob there, Fitzroy Crossing, to Dedley. And across this this Dedley big island, our mob elders are stepping up and look fantastic. And don't have to look over your shoulder. Let's share our culture, our stories, our language with our young ones and keep it all alive. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Billy go bangle, Jemiah Mustaki. Penny go up and money go down, dunum bucks and go. Two up and a jolly bill a liar. You gonna yon nigga on a liar. You gonna yon nigga on a liar. Billy go bangle, Jemiah Mustaki. Penny go up and money go down, dunum bucks and go. Two up and a jolly bill a liar. You go near yon nigga on a liar. Queensland, Amurica, wah, 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 wah.
Well, what that old woman gonna come out gonna next? The old Mary Gradio, what a yow.
Have you ever loved somebody so much it makes you cry? Have you ever? Have you ever? Have you ever been in love? Been in love so bad you would do anything to make them understand.
Ooh.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. And we are too deadly to be very excited because we're talking about Australian icons Gwana announcing national tour to celebrate 40 years of classic album Spirit of Place and kicking off here in Cairns. And with that, going to talk to the deadly brother. We're talking Shane Howard on the line. Shane, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. Good to be talking with you. And look, fantastic. Thank you. Congratulations. We're talking 40-year celebration, national tour, Gwana, and operating in Cairns. And how deadly is Cairns, my brother?
Well, it's sending out a big cheerio to all the mob in Yidinji country and all around that country.
Yes.
All around North Queensland. You know, I'm sure there are too many brothers and sisters up there in that country.
Well, I must make mention of David Hudson, who did a gig with you as well. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so revitalised Gwana there, brother. Look, it's great to be having you here.
David and I met out, I remember, it must have been early 80s, you know, and we're touring, we're out at Alice Springs.
Yes.
And there was the little backstage area was like a caravan. It was the Alice Springs drive-in.
Yeah.
There's a knock at the door. There's this Murray fellow there. My name's Dave Hudson. He's I play Yidaki. And he was touring with Brian Young then, you know, like in a country thing. And Dave came in and he said, I play Yidaki, play Ditch, you know. And so we said, great, come play with us tonight. And so that's kind of how we connected. And
knock on the door. There it was, eh? Asking you to receive.
And then little did I know that he was the man who was going to go on to create Jabal Guy Dance Theatre and all that, you know, like amazing travel the world. And Marky Oliver up there at Fernandez Music.
Yeah, big shout out, Marky Oliver, yes.
Yeah, and to the Brady Bunch, all the Brady family.
Exactly, brother. You got contacts left, right and centre, brother.
Oh, the Yalanji mob, and then out to Kutlan country, out to the Gulf country and Croydon.
Yes.
You know, all that country.
We've got a big footprint, haven't we, brother?
Everywhere you go. A man's got no secrets in that country.
Well, exactly, brother, exactly. So we're talking 40 years. Congratulations, my brother. And my granddad used to always say, are you living or are you just waiting to die? And, brother, you're living. You're living life, aren't you, Shane?
Well, you know, you've got to have a go. You've got to, you know, like, this is it. It's not a dress rehearsal. This is the main game. And, you know, I've been lucky. I mean, that song, Solid Rock and Spirit of Place, that album, it took off like a rocket, you know, as our first album. And, you know, we thought we might get a bit of airplay and get to travel to Sydney, but it took off and around the country we went. And we met Aboriginal people everywhere we went, and we saw the country, you know. And,
and music is a beautiful vehicle to do that, isn't it, brother? Brings people together.
Well, absolutely. And, like, you know, in a way, I feel like I've been on the bridge between worlds, and certainly at that time in the 80s, between the blackfellow world and the whitefellow world, you know, at the same time that we're talking to the music industry and getting awards and that, we're also sleeping on people's floors Aboriginal people's floors who are struggling to get by. So it was very real, and it was all, but there's all this strange double world you're passing through, and you know Aboriginal people know what that's like.
Exactly.
Worlds, you know, but we've come a long way in 40 years, I've got to say.
Yep.
To hear the Prime Minister when he got up on the night and said they would commit to honouring the
Uluru statement.
Exactly. I felt very emotional. I felt like we've come a journey and we're coming a long way now, hey.
Exactly, brother. And look, if we are Australians, we are all Australians, and we need to get it together, don't we, my brother?
Well, I just say to people, you know, white fellas I know, you know, and I've been saying all along, like, come on in, the water's fine. Like, all the how my life and the band and then my children, my family, how our lives have been enriched by, you know, having so many great Aboriginal friends and the deep cultural history that we've been able to share in and so generously. So, you know, there's nothing to lose here, everything to gain. And
good.
Like, let's build that country that's worth living in, hey?
For sure, my brother. So when are you kicking off your tour? Here in Cairns, is that right?
We start in Cairns. Well, I mean, I might as well.
Saturday 25th.
On the 25th, next Saturday. I can't wait, actually, to catch up with a lot of old faces. And
cool.
And really, you know, that old Spirit of Place album, when we pulled out all the old amps and the electric guitar and we fired the band up again, it's amazing to play those songs.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're just loading up the bullocky dray now.
Yeah. Too dirty, brother.
And the stagecoach and heading for Cairns, but no, there's a lot of great rock and roll energy, a lot of great spirit in that record, and it's really great to play those songs again.
It's powerful,
yeah,
brother. Yep.
Quickly tell
the mob how it all started for you, Shane. I mean, it seemed like you come out of the womb with a guitar in your hand, brother.
Well, you know, just about my mother. You know, they say music's a gift, and I know what they mean. Music's a gift because it's given to you, you know. And
yes.
Our mother, from her ancestors, she gave us that beautiful gift of music. She is a very, she had, you know, an Irish heart. Our ancestors were Irish and came out here in the famine times. Yeah, we knew a thing or two about colonisation too back there.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of history of music, a lot of history of struggle, and but she gave us that great love of music and poetry and, you know, and so we used to sing as seven kids. We sang as a family growing up. We sang in church. We sang at community gatherings. We sang for people's weddings. And, you know, seven kids, we all sang, and Dad made sure we rehearsed,
Yeah, good, exactly.
so it's beautiful.
He did a Joe Jackson act. Make sure you rehearse, you guys.
he mightn't have been that strict.
Thank you, that's right,
if we're mucked up, I think Mum would say, oh, this one's been mucking up or that one's been mucking up. And Dad played a bit of piano too.
Yeah.
You know, just a bit by ear, like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Walking My Baby Back Home and things like that. It was a lovely childhood, you know, growing up with music all around us. Really.
Sure. Fantastic. So people get tickets for the concerts?
I don't know. I'm good. I'd be at Tank Arts.
Tank Arts, yes. So that's where you perform at the Tanks, yep.
Or go to the Goanna Band website.
Yes. And it's all there, my brother.
Yeah, or go and see David Hudson.
David Hudson. Fantastic. So after Cairns, where are you heading? Because we're talking Australian too, aren't we?
We are, yeah. So this takes us through to the end of the year. So we're going all over the place.
Good.
Yeah, amazing. Like renewing friendships and renewing acquaintances again and, you know, we're not getting any younger.
It's
a lovely opportunity to get around the country and say thank you to everybody who supported us in the old days. And
love it.
We're going to Mackay, we're going to Rockhampton, then we go down to Gold Coast, to Brisbane, then we go to Alice Springs, Darwin, Perth, West Australia, Geraldton, Tasmania, New South Wales, Victoria, everywhere.
Big footprint.
There was no stone unturned, brother.
There you go, brother. Exactly. And we don't realise what a big country we live in, so we start travelling it. Isn't that the right chain?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, when we were young and we took off, all your touring in those days was done by getting a coaster bus and off you went.
That's right, yeah.
Melbourne, you drove to Cairns and back again.
In a combi. Too beautiful, brother. Yeah, lovely talking with you, Shane, and all the best. And looking forward to seeing you here in Cairns, my brother.
Great. Thanks, Trevor. Yeah, big seven-piece band, and they're great, great players. The band's rocking at the moment. It's really great to make a big noise again. So looking forward to seeing everyone. Thanks,
you take care, brother. All the best. Bye-bye.
Yo.
A beautiful young there, Shane Howard. Yeah, Gwenna, they're performing, doing an Australian tour and kicking off here in Cairns. That's the 25th of June. Get on their webpage, purchase tickets. They're performing at the Tanks this Saturday, your mob. And so with that, let's go to Solid Rock. Shane Howard, do enjoy. And Trinity Trev, sign off here for the program for today, National Talk Black. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. Too Deadly, mob. Keep smiling.